The U.S. and China swap sanctions. From Marketplace, I'm Sabri Benishore, in for David Brancaccio. In a sanctions tit-for-tat between the U.S. and China, it was China's turn this morning. It put Lockheed Martin and a unit of Raytheon on what it calls its unreliable entity list. In the U.S., the Commerce Department on Friday added five Chinese firms and a research institute to its entity list. Here's Marketplace's Nova Sappho.
China says it's sanctioning Lockheed Martin and Raytheon Missiles and Defense because they provide weapons to Taiwan. They in fact do. The U.S. is Taiwan's main source of military equipment. This is not new. What is new is the latest round of U.S. sanctions on Chinese firms, five of them which are suspected of supporting China's military and aerospace programs, or more specifically, China's alleged surveillance balloon program. A Chinese research institute was also added to the U.S. list on Friday. As for Raytheon's Missiles and Defense Unit and Lockheed Martin, China says they're now barred from importing goods into China or making new investments there. It's not clear what impact, if any, this will have on either company. They have so far not commented. I'm Nova Sappho for Marketplace.
Until this week, there were no federal standards for electric vehicle chargers in the U.S., and it shows. Existing chargers have different connections, different power levels, different payment methods. Now, the White House has unveiled new national standards for federally funded EV chargers. The idea is to make it easy for drivers to find a charger without even thinking about it. More convenient for EV drivers, yes, but also a business opportunity. Here's Marketplace's Stephanie Hughes.
Standards create certainty, and investors like certainty. Jay Coe is managing director of the Lightsmith Group, a climate-focused private equity firm.
The next 5 to 10 years now, the trajectory has become a lot clearer.
Another certainty, public funds. The infrastructure law invests $7.5 billion in EV charging. That's why we're seeing companies like Tesla make a portion of electric chargers open to all EVs by the end of next year. And that
creates a much larger landscape and shows that people are willing to play nice with others.
It also makes good business sense to be able to profit from charging all electric cars, not just Teslas. Another business opportunity lies in strategizing where new electric chargers should be. Jessica Transick is a professor at the Institute for Data, Systems, and Society at MIT.
You can pinpoint certain locations where people stop, you know, where they stop for certain amounts of time.
The Biden administration wants a network of 500,000 public EV chargers across the country by 2030. That's about four times the current number. I'm Stephanie Hughes for Marketplace.
All right, let's do the numbers. The FTSE in London is up 0.2%. Dow, S&P, and NASDAQ futures are all down in the 0.1% range, with the Dow future down 26 points. The yield on the 10-year Treasury is 3.788%. The founder of Reddit group, Wall Street Bets, that's the forum that launched the meme stock frenzy, is suing Reddit for banning him. He had tried to trademark Wall Street Bets in March of 2020 and was kicked off a month later for allegedly trying to monetize a Reddit community. Reddit says the lawsuit is frivolous.
With access to so much information, it's hard to feel like an informed, discerning citizen. That's why on Make Me Smart, which is a podcast from Marketplace, we make it easy for you to stay in the know. Hi, I'm Kai Rizdahl. Every weekday, Kimberly Adams and I unpack the latest from Washington, D.C.
The Senate minority leader has announced that he will step down as the Republican leader.
What's happening in AI? I mean, don't buy at the top, but holy cow, artificial intelligence and all the companies related to it are the hot new thing. And we do the numbers.
So as a refresher, inflation is the rate of increase in the prices of things. It's not just sort of things getting more expensive. It's a speed at which things get more expensive.
Because in a world that's constantly changing, we all need to stay smart. Listen to Make Me Smart wherever you get your podcasts.
In June of 2019, the average price of a dozen grade A eggs was $1.20. This past January, the average price was $4.80. And I can tell you in New York, you can find them for much more than that. They've started to come down at the wholesale level, though it may take a while for that to make its way to consumers. The main culprit here, but not the only one, in the price surge was bird flu. 58 million birds on U.S. farms have either been infected or culled to prevent spread. For today's Economic Pulse, we check in with an egg farmer navigating business amid all these headwinds. Joining us now is Sam Krause. He's co-CEO of MPS Egg Farms based in northern Indiana. Good morning.
Good morning.
So egg prices have been moving around so much. What's going on there?
You know, the biggest impacts on egg prices have been bird flu this year, in addition to a number of other inflationary pressures that egg farmers, like industries all throughout the economy, have been feeling.
What's brought them back down?
It's a combination of factors. Eggs are a pure commodity, and they're driven almost entirely by supply and demand. So through the holiday season, we saw demand get very high as people are doing more hosting and baking. And since then, demand has softened somewhat. At the same time, egg producers have been repopulating flocks all throughout bird flu and been able to increase supply so that we can keep eggs coming. And the two of those in combination have served to bring the wholesale price of eggs down.
So far, you have managed to avoid being directly affected by the most recent bird flu outbreak. How did you do that?
We have, and we're extremely thankful for that. MPS learned a lot after the 2015 outbreak of bird flu on the ways that we can implement what we call biosecurity, which is, in very short, keeping the outside out and making sure any potential pathogens that are out there aren't getting exposed to our hens.
What do biosecurity measures look like at an egg farm?
Biosecurity looks like a lot of different things. It starts as soon as vehicles enter our farms. We have truck washes that wash and disinfect every vehicle that comes onto the farm. Everybody who comes on the farm then has to enter through a locker room where they either put on a suit or change into a uniform that just stays on the farm so that, you know, anything from the outside stays out and everything that needs to be on the farm with the birds stays in. At the same time, anybody who goes outside needs to put on new shoe covers to prevent keeping anything outside out.
Eggs are one of those things that the people eat them in good times and in bad. But I wonder if you have to predict anything about the economy this year in estimating how you do business.
You know, eggs are an extremely resilient food, I think. You know, there aren't many replacements. And no matter what the price is, they are a great, affordable source of protein for people. Eggs have been remarkably, you know, economically resilient and had good demand in good economic times and in bad.
Sam Krause is co-CEO of MPS Egg Farms. Thanks so much.
Thank you.
In New York, I'm Sabri Benishore with the Marketplace Morning Report. From APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.